Some believers are reluctant to focus on the Holy Spirit because they think it means having to speak in tongues. This gift of the Spirit was prevalent at the birth of the church, and today its resurgence causes some to wonder if what we see now is the same thing that happened long ago. Today, a careful look into the Bible for clarity on what tongues are and what they're not. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue our series on what happens when the Spirit has His way. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as Dr. Lutzer comes to speak on the gift of service.
There's no doubt that what Paul has in mind is the ability to be able to distinguish between the work of the devil and the work of the Holy Spirit. And you think that's easy? That's not easy at all. There are people today, Jesus said, who will, in the name of Jesus, cast out demons and do many wonderful works, and they'll be disqualified in the day of judgment. One of the most sobering passages of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7. Now, sometimes you watch television, and I can just tell this person is doing his, quote, miracles under the power of the devil, even though he uses the name of Jesus, by the way. And Paul talks about that in another passage, and years ago I preached on that other passage. But the point is that sometimes they run concurrently. It's difficult to distinguish because Satan's workers appear as angels of light doing miracles, and they'll do it in the name of Jesus. We need people today who have the gift of discernment, who can distinguish the false from the true. Big topic. And then we go on to tongues and so forth. Now, I'm going to take a bit of a detour here and talk about tongues. I remember seeing a sign saying, that Frenchman detour, he really made some bad roads. Well, do I have to repeat that for some of you? Let's take a bit of a detour regarding tongues, because it is the most controversial gift. The gift of tongues, some people say, and I'm only looking at it through a real sliver here, really fast. I mentioned it in previous messages that I believe that it was God's special gift to prove and to indicate that from now on the gospel was going to Gentiles in all the different languages of the world. He was reversing the Tower of Babel, which divided the world because of languages. God says, now I'm bringing them together. And the gospel is going to go worldwide, not just in the beautiful Hebrew language, but the guttural sounds of Gentile languages. But there are friends who in the movement who today tell us that when you speak in tongues, you don't have to speak an actual language as they did in the book of Acts, and furthermore, even more dangerously, you don't have to know what it is you're saying. I think that is very dangerous. Now, there are two verses that are used to try to teach that some people who speak in tongues have no clue what they're saying, and yet they're speaking by the Spirit. Very dangerous, in my opinion. But the two verses are in chapter 14. You can turn there if you wish. It's just the next page. It says in verse 2, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Paul is not saying the guy doesn't know what he's saying. What he's saying is that without an interpreter, you are speaking mysteries. Later on, if I had time, I could prove to you that later on in the passage, when he talks about speaking in the Spirit, he's not talking about some unknown language, but he's talking about people who are receiving revelations from God in another language. He's not saying that they don't know what it is that they are saying. It's that there's no interpreter present. So he's speaking mysteries. If I were to stand up here and speak Swahili, for example, I would know what I was saying, but for most of you, it would be a great mystery. But God would show me what it is that I'm saying. Never give your mind to some kind of a spirit and you don't know what it is that you're saying. The other verse is, of course, in same chapter, verse 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What Paul means is that my being understood is unfruitful. What is in my mind is unfruitful. That's what he's talking about here. And I felt I needed to clarify that. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the gift of tongues was exercised in the first century. After that, it kind of died away, and then it reappeared as something quite different in the early 1900s. But that's a longer story. Now, you say, well, what about these miraculous gifts? There's no doubt that in the early church there were some miraculous gifts. I referred to them earlier as sign gifts. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, that he was able to do the miracles or the signs of an apostle. So it appears as if the apostles had very special gifts and very special abilities. And within the congregations there were. I'm not saying that any of these gifts, like the gift of miracles, could not possibly happen in a church today. I think that we have to be open to that. But today, it seems as if God has decided to give people the Word of God rather than special gifts of prophecy that seem to see the future. All of these things, of course, we could discuss in more detail. The point I want to make today, however, is this, that the Apostle Paul makes it clear that everybody who is in the body of Jesus Christ has some special gift. Some special gifting is given. And of course, we can't say, well, I don't have to help clean up after a luncheon because I don't have the gift of helps. You know. And we can't say, well, you know, I don't have to give because I don't have the gift of giving. These gifts must be understood as the primary hardwiring that God gives us, but all of us exercise different gifts at different times, and so we can't excuse ourselves. The other thing that I do as I look at this passage is to say that it's interesting that Paul doesn't distinguish women from men. It appears to me that women can have all of these gifts. Now, their function in the church is different in terms of their roles. For example, when it comes to the role of the elders, the church leadership, clearly the Bible indicates that these are men that are leading. But there are many different ministries within the restrictions and the guidance of the New Testament that women are able to exercise. So the Apostle Paul here is speaking about the fact that we have gifts. And then he talks about all the diversity. I need to just make a comment before I nail this down for all of us. He says in verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, what would that make it any less a part of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, wouldn't that be interesting? Prop the eye up on a couch so that it can watch TV, I guess. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If it were only an ear, he says, then you turn off the TV and turn on the radio, I guess. What Paul is saying is that there is diversity of gifts. Some people's gifts may be more public than others. Some people's may be more gifted in one area than another. But a spiritual gift is a divine ability for service. It is a divine ability to serve, and God has given you that ability, whether you found it or not. It is there as a member of the body to function together with a sense of unity that we enjoy. Let us help us just nail this down as we look at a couple of bottom lines as to what this should mean to us individually and where we go from here. First of all, it is clear that everyone has a gift. Now, I've emphasized it, but just look at what it says there in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 11, last part of the verse. The Holy Spirit of God gives gifts, apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then if this isn't beautiful enough, notice it says it again in verse 19, I think it is, as the Apostle Paul goes on, he speaks about the fact that it is God who determines where we fit in the body. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them, as he chooses. Imagine. God chose that you would have the gifting that you have. If I may be permitted a personal word, I was just thinking about this past week. I was a boy born on a farm, born in an old farmhouse about 5 miles from a town of 75 people. To think of the fact that God already then had shaped me in such a way, knowing that I'd come to saving faith in Christ, that he would say, I'm giving him this gift. Now, I believe personally that my gift, my number one gift, is the gift of exhortation. Differs a little bit from the gift of teaching, though, of course, I can teach as well. And when I exhort, I teach. But at any rate, that's my hard wiring. But just like I happen to know what my gift is, you also should know that there are ways to find out what your gift is.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do need to ask you, do you know what your gift is? I can't help but be impressed with the fact that God takes such detailed interest in each of us. To each of us, the Bible says, even as I emphasized in the message, to each of us is given a gift, as he wills. Do you realize how freeing that is? We don't have to envy somebody else's gift. We don't have to compete with them. We can be completely and totally content with a gift that God has given to us. Well, if you've been listening to this series of messages titled, When the Spirit Has His Way, you already know that I have a great burden to help the Church of Jesus Christ to understand the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Spirit of God has His way, we become transformed. We discover that there is spiritual power that is available that perhaps we didn't know about. And that's why in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Meanwhile, I hope you take the time to pray for us. Thank you to the many of you who support this ministry. We are deeply dependent upon you. And we are very grateful that together we are making a difference. So from my heart to yours, God bless you. You have a good day. You can go to our website, moodychurch.org, to learn more about the Moody Church. And I'll see you right here next time on Running to Win as we continue this ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of The Gift of Service, the 9th message in his series on When the Spirit Has His Way. There are all kinds of people in the body of Christ, all kinds of needs to be met. Monday, how, by using the gifts we've been given, we can help each other in the race of life. This 10-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.